Please be seated, won't you? Good morning. So, if you just got here, it's the 8:45 service. And be kind to the people when they walk in at about 11:45, thinking it's 10:45. So, what does it mean to be tempted? What does it mean to have something pull you away from the love of God? What does it mean to have something distract you from the care of your neighbor? What does it mean to have something take you into a life of sin? When we hear this gospel, we might hear lots of different things. But one of the things I want you to think about today is that this gospel shows us the human side of Jesus. We say theologically that Jesus was fully human and fully God. And this particular moment in Scripture, we hear the fully human side. Jesus is proving himself in some way and is tempted heavily, as all of us are tempted. The temptation is to draw oneself away from God and to draw oneself away from that love. Of course, if he had fallen into temptation, we probably wouldn't be talking about the gospel for today. How many of you have ever heard of the marshmallow experiment? You ever heard of this? It's kind of a fun little experiment. You can look it up on YouTube. And it's fun to watch because it's an experiment done with kids, usually pretty young, and they're sort of set up to fail. They're sort of set up to see if they can resist, and there's sort of some work done beforehand, because there's one group there, they have a very trusting leader, and there's another group where the leader is not so trusting, and there's another group that's left with their own devices, and the leader isn't important. And the experiment is, they have a bowl of marshmallows or attractive candy or something set up before them, and they say, if you don't eat this, you can eat it right now, or if you don't eat it, you can have a lot more later, right? And the question is, can they resist? Now, this isn't really the kind of sin we're talking about in Scripture, but it's a little bit like what is attractive about sin. And so each group, depending on how much they trust the leader and they know that they're going to get the large reward or how much they're not going to get it, kind of sets them up to do it. And they're told they have to wait 10 minutes or 20 minutes or something like this. And my favorite video is the one kid who's there and he's just like, 10 minutes! 10 minutes! 10 minutes! 10 minutes! 10 minutes, you know. But it's a fun little experiment about whether we can hold on or resist something that's irresistible. During Lent, we have the opportunity to fast and to pray and to take something on. So how many of you give something up for Lent? That's a great tradition. How many of you do that? It's okay. How many of you take something new on? How many of you devote time to prayer or to scripture study? Some of you. Or might do something completely different. May just make it a, you know, make a concerted effort to be in church, you know. Now we'll be watching if you raise your hand. Ben, take notes. We do that for lots of different reasons. And I remember as growing up, we were always told to give something up, and I remember one time giving up soda or pop or Coke. You can, which, depending on what part of the region, I want to make sure you understand what I'm saying. And it was something I really loved. And this was back before diet sodas. This was back when Tab was the only diet option, which, you know, tasted like rat poison. Might even be rat poison. If you love Tab, I'm sorry. But that was the only option. And I remember one time walking home from school, and I had a 50 cents or a quarter, whatever it cost. I think it cost a quarter at the time. And I had to have an orange soda, and I went ahead and got one. And I was terrified and racked with guilt after I had enjoyed that amazing orange crush soda at the grocery store on my way from school to home. And I thought, surely someone's going to know my lips are probably orange, or I'm going to smell like it, or I spilled it on my shirt. And of course, no one noticed and no one cared. And finally, I went to my mom. I was so upset. And I said, Mom, I had an orange soda. She says, oh, well, good for you. She goes, why is that a big deal? I said, well, I gave it up for Lent. He goes, oh, well, sometimes you don't always make it. Don't worry about it. And it didn't really kind of fix it for me, so I asked to talk to the priest. So I went to the priest and I said, I had an orange soda. He says, was it good? I said, yeah. He said, great. He says, you want another one? Ah! You know, this was the conversation. As I got older, I started to figure out that giving things up meant to try to put something in its place. So the idea was, if you gave something up, it ought to be something that you desire or focus on or is a big part of your life, so that then when you encounter that moment when you desire it, you can place God in that moment. It's to remind you through the fasting of God's presence. An older tradition is to not eat on particular days or to have limited diets or something like that. Again, it is to go without so that you can have a moment of emptiness to find a place to allow God to enter. Maybe in the same way, when we take on a discipline, it's to remind us of that very presence of God. If we commit to praying for a certain period each day, or we commit to reading a book in the Bible, or picking up a book about spirituality, or doing something like this, it is to allow a moment and to allow a space for God to enter in where God might not be right now. So think about that for a minute. So why do we get this lesson always on the first Sunday of Lent? To help us to think about temptation. The first test for Jesus is, will you be magical? You know what I mean by that? Will you do something that can't be done because you can? Will you turn this stone into bread? The second test is, can you suspend the laws of nature? Jump off and fall down, and nothing bad will happen to you because you can break the rules. You are Superman. You know that Superman doesn't exist, right? Let me confirm. Even though he keeps showing up in movies all the time, he's not real. Right. So if you jump off the mountain, what's going to happen? Well, Jesus is fully human. He's not going to probably make it. If you want power, oh, I can give you power over all the world. But Jesus knows that he has no power to give, that it's an illusion. And yet, if we're really honest, we often want those things in our life. Have you ever done something to try to create magic in your life? Sports are always a great example. How many of you wear a particular item of clothing when your favorite team plays, thinking that you are the one that are responsible for their win or loss? Or how many of you have said, if I watch the game sitting like this instead of like this, you know, they'll win? Or if I, yeah, okay, gotcha. But don't we often maybe want magic? I remember an old habit when you're getting ready to go through an intersection, the light might be changing, you scratch the top of your roof. Everybody done that? That somehow that's going to make the light last a little longer. Those are simple examples, but in lots of ways we want magic to happen. We maybe even negotiate in our head that if we do certain things, this will happen, and it can be something that can arise to quite a disorder if we want it to. Don't we also want the rules to be suspended? We don't want the natural laws to apply to us. If you take this one pill or drink this one solution or do this one thing, you will never get sick. Yeah, it might be very true that there might be things that help you be healthy. I'm not saying that. But really, there's probably no secret plant somewhere deep down in Brazil that they've just discovered, and there's only two of them in existence, and if you eat this extract from it, you will never get anything ever again, and you will live forever. It's not going to work, is it? I've discovered that when you fall down mountains, the laws of physics work. I think sometimes when we're young, we think we're invincible, and we think that the things that we do, nothing bad will ever happen to us. I think it's funny, and if you play the lottery, go for it, have fun. But sometimes when we play the lottery, we start playing that game where we think this magical thing of statistics is going to go away because we might be the one, right? And you know that you have a higher likelihood of being bitten by a shark even if you don't swim in the ocean, and you might have a higher likelihood of being struck by lightning, dying in an airplane crash, having a car accident, doing all kinds of things. In fact, the odds are so astronomical that the likelihood of you winning a big prize are almost impossible. And yet, we play those numbers, it might happen. Think of other things that we do in our lives where we play that same sort of logic. And don't we want power? Don't we want to be in charge, have power over others? Not only power over others, but power over ourselves or over the creation around us. I think this is probably one of the key sins or temptations in our life. And we hear so often in the news of people who have power and abuse it and misuse it. And it results in harm of others and those around us. And so Jesus sets this example. He says, you will be tempted. Temptation will come to you. But your call is to find God at the center of your being. To find God at the center of your life and to know that you can't do magic, that you can't suspend the rules, and that any power you think you have is an illusion, and that only God is the creator, and that God loves you and hopes for you, and that you will be subjected to sin and temptation, but you can have God's grace and love and can find forgiveness with others. We'll hear more about that as we go through the lessons in the next couple of weeks. We'll hear more of those other themes of Lent, but in particular today we focus on that idea of temptation. So as you go about your week this week, I want you to pay attention to the marshmallows that are in front of you. Those things that you might know you're to resist. Those things that might get in your way, take you away from the love of God. Those things that might distract you from the center. Those things that might give you the illusion of having magic abilities, of having the ability not to follow the rules and having power. They're probably there in so many ways in your life. And yet we're called back to that Lenten journey, to our fasting, to our prayer, to our disciplines, to help us, to encourage us, and to draw us closer to the love of God. You might sneak in an orange crush here or there, and that's not the point of the exercise. It's okay if you sin on occasion. There is grace. But to me, the hope of this gospel is I know that Jesus knows our hunger, knows our desires, knows our temptations in every way, and Jesus can strengthen us in those moments. So this week, watch out for the marshmallows. Amen.